We do. Okay, speak into it.
The Lord says that I walked on water and I calmed the raging seas. I put food on your table and your bills were paid. Put your trust in me and only me. Cry out to me and I will hear you and I will answer.
Amen. Amen. You might be thinking, does God speak to people? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And He also speaks to His people, the church. He's paid your bills. He's put food on your table. He's met with you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Nothing's too big that God can't solve. Gosh. That's for somebody today. You need to listen. You need to get a hold of it. Nothing is too big that God cannot solve. There's no bill too big that God can't pay. He can do it. Trust Him. Trust Him. Amen. You can put the last song as we have. If Father, Lord, I pray for the workers today that you would help them to teach these kids, Lord God, to be with them and help them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would invade that room, Lord God, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would be there for the workers and the children, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed as far as the kids and... Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Do you have a bulletin, babe, with the amount? Oh, that's okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I tell you, just to let the Lord just work in our hearts and work in our lives. Thank you. To work in our hearts and work in our lives. Don't forget that if you would like to help with Operation Christmas Child, they have boxes in the back. You just have to decide if you want to help a boy or a girl or whatever. And it gives you a list of things that you can put in it. I know the last Sunday for us is November the 17th. And then somebody's going to take it right after church and then bring it wherever it needs to be brought Monday morning. So if you're working on one, try to have it in as soon as possible. I know you have... Well, maybe a month or so. So just a matter of note if you'd like to help. Now, these boxes, they go all over the world. This is the part of Samaritan's Purse or Billy Graham and Franklin Graham. It's a part of them. It's an offshoot of that ministry. But these shoe boxes are shipped throughout the world, all over, to all kinds of, you know, kids everywhere that if it wasn't for the shoe boxes, they wouldn't get anything for Christmas. So if you would like to help, please do so. And we certainly do appreciate that. Also, we want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, we picked up $1,270.23. So we want to thank you for being faithful in giving to the church in that area. Amen. I know we need to pray for Rita and we need to pray for Steve Launche, that's not feeling well this morning. Let's lift him up. Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we lift up Rita and Steve to you that needs a healing in their bodies, Lord God. Father, we pray that you will touch them, Lord God. You will heal their bodies, and that, Father, the anointing of the Spirit of God would rest upon them, Lord, this day. We give you praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to a scripture in the Song of Solomon. It's called chapter 1, the Song of Solomon. You don't hear too much about that book, the Song of Solomon, but it's on page 1089. It's good to see every one of you today. And it's good to be seen. That's right. Amen. Amen. You know, everybody's worth a lot. Amen. Everybody's worth the blood of Jesus. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. This book of Solomon, or the Song of Solomon, was written by Solomon, obviously. But it was written in 965 B.C. And the scripture I want to read is in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." And you can keep that scripture up there just for a moment. The Song of Solomon, or the Book of Solomon, expresses two ideas in this book. Number one, first, it expresses the idea of Israel as being the unfaithful wife to our Lord. And it speaks about futuristic events that will lead Israel back to its first love of the Father. That's number one. Number two, it also gives the idea, or carries the idea, of a figure of a bride and a bridegroom, which is expressed in the love of Christ to the believer and of the believer to Christ. So those are the two ideas about Israel coming back and about a wife and her husband, or a husband and his wife. But in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, Solomon is writing this book, and we know that all Scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit would come upon these men, as they would write, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and the Spirit of God would write through them, would use them actually as they would write, and they would write the Scriptures. And in Solomon chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Draw me, and we will run after thee." Now, that's a very interesting statement. Remember, Solomon is writing it. And Solomon writes, "Draw me." Now, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Father. As far as, "Draw me, we will run after thee." Now, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, this is actually, if you want to say it this way, this is actually a prayer. "Draw me." How many times have we gone through life and, you know, things maybe get hard, or things just get rough in life, and we're just driving maybe, and we say, "Lord, help me." I mean, you know, it's like you just... you're not kneeling down, which we need sometimes to kneel down. I like to kneel and pray. I don't know. It just does something in me. But I'm not saying you have to do that to feel the presence of God. That'd be just a religious thing. You know, I like to raise my hands and praise the Lord, because what does it do? It's surrender. It's a form of surrender outwardly towards Him. You know, us surrendering to our God. You know, the other people like to lay down, really, lay down and just worship God, or just say, "Lord, help me." But how many times have we been in a place where maybe we just in our bedroom, or sitting on our lazy boy, or doing whatever, walking, you know, doing something, and we just say, "Help, Lord. Lord, give me wisdom." I mean, there's no big deal as far as the outside of things. And if probably somebody would hear it, you know, they would think, "Oh, that's nothing," you know. But to God, Because he sees the heart of you and I, it's a big deal to him. It's a huge deal to him. It's more than what we realize it is. Because when we say, help, Lord, or we say, Lord, I need you. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, show me what to do. Or, you know, we just walking and maybe tears are coming out. We just don't know what to do. That God is moved by those prayers. That God is actually moved by those prayers. That God is actually moved because of our hearts. Because when we say, Lord, help me, it's like you're broken. And he's saying, basically, you're finally where I need you to be. Because you see, he can only use a broken and contrite heart towards him. He can't use a hard heart that is hard before him. He can't. Not that he doesn't desire to, but he can't on our part. But he desires to use a heart that is broken before him. Now let me say this, not a heart that is, we want to say, even right before him. Because you see, there's always things in our hearts that God is trying to get right. We just don't see it at the time. And until the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, that's His job in revealing things to us. And when He reveals it to us, we ask forgiveness. We ask God to strengthen us. We put our faith in the cross and we go on. That's the process of the Holy Spirit coming in and cleansing our hearts and cleansing our lives. That's the process. We shouldn't think that we're perfect just because we're right before Him today. Because there are things. But God has to keep working in us and working in us, and because that's what His job is, the Holy Spirit's job. And so we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to draw us, to draw us. You heard the story about the man, him and his wife had been married 50 years. And he's sitting in his truck and she's sitting way on the other side. And she turns to him and says, you know, I remember when we used to sit so close together. And how we used to be so close. And he turns to her and says, well, I haven't moved. Now, it could be vice versa, whatever. That's just like our God. He hasn't moved. Our God stays in the driver's seat. And He expects us to draw near. To draw near. Now, it was really a command and a help towards us. But draw me. This prayer has only two words. But yet it astounds God. Draw me, Lord. Draw me. How many times have maybe we felt far from God? And just because we feel something doesn't necessarily mean that it's truth. Because human beings, we live by what we feel, what we see, what we touch. That's our avenue of things. But we don't know so much in the heart area as God knows. And just because we may feel something doesn't necessarily mean that it's truth. Because you see, the only thing the devil can use is the things from the outside to affect the Christian from the outside. And so what he does, he tries to raise up storms. He tries to raise up things that will affect us with family, with friends, with church, with society, with government, whatever it may be. Because that's the only way he can affect human beings. And that's the only way he can affect Christians. And so he raises up these things to try to do things to us from the outside. And just because we may feel, oh my God, doesn't necessarily mean that we're far from Him. Just because Solomon said, draw me, doesn't mean he was far from Him, but probably he was in a place where he wanted to be closer to God. Because you see, we can get closer to Him, get closer to Him, get closer to Him, or we can get far away from Him, far away from Him, and far away from Him, and still be a Christian. See, it's a matter of our choice. It's a matter of what do we want as a Christian. But I know this, every one of us, because of a love for our God, because we love Him with everything within Him, we want to see Him move in us. We want to see Him move in our church. We want to see God move in our community. We want to see God move in every aspect of our lives, that we want to draw closer to Him and be with Him closely, drawing close to Him. The prayer has only two words, draw me. And yet this is one of the most powerful prayers that could be prayed. Lord, if You will draw me, my body, my soul, and my spirit, in totality of my being, which is the will, the intellect, and the emotions, I will run after Thee. Can you imagine? Draw me, and we will run after Thee. Often think of Peter walking on that water, guys. The Lord was way over there, but he got out of that boat and walked actually on water. That's amazing to me. That faith, that took a lot of faith. Or really simple faith just in Him. And even when he got his eyes off, the Lord Jesus took that hand and said, come on, son. And picked him up. He was the only one that actually was touched by God physically, because he grabbed him and yanked him up. Can you imagine? All the other ones stayed in the boat in safety and wouldn't get out. But none of them, all they did was saw. And yet to us, that's a lot, huh? To see. But none of them were touched like Peter was touched physically by God. Look, our Christianity, we have a relationship with Him. We not only want to see what He can do, but buddy, we want to touch our God. We want to touch Him. We want Him to touch us. We want Him to touch our spirits, to touch our lives and change us. For the betterment of this community, to change us for the betterment of society, to change us for the betterment of ourselves, so we can actually produce and pronounce God upon this community. That we can give forth Jesus and not ourselves. That we can get over the selfishness that is in us. Huh. I know it. Hey, look. We all, whether we face it or not, have a lot of selfishness. I'm not saying you have selfishness. I'm saying I have a lot of selfishness, and you too. And so we got to get over that stuff. We got to go. We got to get to the place where, Lord, You are more important than what will satisfy me. And that's not easy. It's easy to stay in the boat like Peter and them, like the other guys did. It was easy to do that and say, lo, the blessings of God. Look, He's over there. Praise God. Look at where He's walking on the... Praise God. But it was faith by Peter to get out of that boat and to walk on that water and to say, I want to be with Him. I want to know Him. I want to touch Him. And Jesus, what Jesus said, come. Jesus is saying to us, come. God the Father is saying to us, come. It takes some time to draw near to our God. But we got to set priorities straight. Whatever our priority is what we will do. We got to set priorities straight within us as Christians. That God is number one. Let me say it again. We, talking about myself and everybody else, we got to set the priority straight that He is number one. That we do His agenda before ours. That everything we have belongs to who? Him. And what He wants to do with it is up to Him. We got to be drawn by Him and keep drawn by Him and keep drawn by His Spirit and saying, Lord, what do You want, Father? What do You want, Lord? In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, draw near or nigh to God, and He will draw near or nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. James chapter 4, which was written by James. Most of the time when their book is named after, most of the time, it's written by that person. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Oh, draw nigh to God, or near to God, and He will draw near to you. This verse is a promise as well as a command. A promise as well as a command. It's commanding us, draw near to God. But He promises that God will draw near to us. He promises that, people. He promises it. It's not like He's saying, do this, and nothing happens. He's saying, do this, draw nigh to Me, and I will draw nigh to you. Can you imagine? Our God, your God, my God, wants to be near you. And a lot of times we say, Lord, get away. Don't we? Especially when you do something not good, huh? Don't shout me down now. And I don't mean you, I mean all of us. When we do something not right, when we say something, ooh, and we wish you could take that word back right after it comes out from our tongue. You know, it's like we just, boy, it leashes out that sword here. It's, and we're going, oh my God, what did I just say? What you do is you get by yourself or whatever and you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And you try to get with that person and ask forgiveness. But at God, it's a promise and a command. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God that says, I want fellowship with Joe. I want to be with Him. I want to draw near to Him. And I want Him to draw near to me. Because you see, the closer you are to something, that's what you become. Okay? So the closer I am to God, let's say this is God. The closer I walk to God, the closer I become like Him. Because you see, the closer I walk to Him, I know I hear a sound, everyone's, I'll get right here. The closer I walk to Him, the more I pray. Not because I have to, because I desire to. That's the difference between religion and relationship. The more I look to God, the more I just want to take this word and try to get it in here. I wish we could cook this word and eat it. And literally we would know it, but it doesn't happen that way. We can take a page and it's just words. It's just words until the Spirit of God gets a hold of it. Then it's the Word of God. But the longer I look to Him, the more I want to be like Him. So I keep walking towards Him. And yes, there may be rocks in the road that try to trip me up. And yet, there might even be people in the road that try to trip me up, knowingly or unknowingly, because I don't want to always say knowingly. Whatever situations. But as I look to Him, and as I do, as the Scripture says, keep drawing near to Him, it's like He's just coming after me. He's running. That's relationship. That's relationship. To hunger for His Word like never before. That's the Spirit of the living God that when we got saved came in. How many times have you ever just desired just to pray, huh? It's like you just wanted to pray. Not that you had to. Not because Pastor Joe said to. Not because, you know, maybe your parents said to do it or your spouse said to do it, but just because you wanted to and you desired it. That's the Spirit of God drawing Joe and drawing you. And what we, now, He can't make me pray because I have a will. He can't make me read because I have a will. He can't make me go to church because I have a will. You decided this morning that you were coming to church. Many other people should have been here. But that's okay. God will get a hold of them. But you see, it's the Spirit of God that draws. That keeps drawing. And we have to be humble to that Spirit and say, Lord, not my will, but Father, Your will. To do what He says to do. Because when we follow what He says to do, the blessings and the anointing and the power of God rest upon a people and upon a church. So we have to humbly set our eyes, set our face towards our God and say, I will never let anything or anyone or any problem sway me to the left or sway me to the right, but my eyes will be fastened upon Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. I wasn't going to talk about Peter today or David. When David, King David, said, I'm going to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. King David went out and had the fanfare of everything of whatever. And buddy, they did it like a hoedown almost. But our God is holy. And He's a God of order. And He knew how David and his men were supposed to bring that ark back. David didn't go to the Scriptures to read about how it was supposed to be done. You know what that shows me? That shows me that David thought he knew better than God. Or he thought he knew. See, man thinks they know how to get a hold of God. And probably most of the time it's incorrect. Because it's not what the Scripture says. Man thinks they know what is best with their money. Man thinks, well, if I help everybody in the world and give them this and give them that, well, that's okay. No, Scripture says, God says, give your tithe to the church first. See, what God says is always correct and right. What man says is not always correct. We have to do what God says and how He says to do it. And when we do it the way God says and how He says to do things, we will draw near to Him, and the anointing and the Spirit of God will rest upon us as individuals, as families, and as a church. Power. And it says that David went out and got the whole fanfare and was bringing this ark in, and sudden destruction came upon the situation. And they took the ark and they placed it in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And it says that that house was blessed. That house was blessed. Because wherever the Ark of the Covenant is, in the Old Testament, that was the presence of God. And you see, where the presence of God is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Oh, and you see, look, we are drawn to God because as we look to Him, He brings liberty and freedom to our minds and our hearts. He brings liberty and freedom to our minds and our hearts and everything that's within us. But anytime we turn from the God of our fathers, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we turn to something else, no matter how good it is, it will bring chains of bondage. We have to draw nigh to God continuously. And never let the enemy divert us to the left or divert us to the right. But keeping our eyes continually upon Him and Him alone. And it says, finally David, he went back and he looked and found out exactly how to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. Back to where it should have been. And he read about it and he did it. He had to do the blood sacrifice. He had to have the praise and worship. He had to have certain things in order. And certain men had to carry it and not upon a cart. To usher in the presence of God, there's certain things we have to do. Get things right with God. We got to make sure things are right with God, people. We have to make sure that we are drawn to Him, but we got to make sure that things are right between us and Him. You might say, Pastor, how do I do that? Look, get with Him. Say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Search my heart. Father, forgive me for anything and everything that may be bad in my heart. And look, when you get up, you're right before God. Now, let me tell you this, though. From that day forward, God's going to show you things that need to be corrected. Just correct it. Just let Him. Now, you might say, well, am I right before God then? Yes, you are. Because it's the blood of Jesus that comes and cleanses your heart. But from that day forward, God is going to show you things and say, that's not right. Correct it. Get things right with people if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it's not possible. I know a lot of you are shaking. I know. You cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't want this. Not that you have something against them, but something maybe happened. And you've forgiven them. But yet, they won't have fellowship with you. Or they won't receive you back. Well, then, you know what? You can't do anything about that. You ask God to forgive you on whatever part you had in it that wasn't right. You get it right before God and you let Him handle the other stuff. Okay? Let Him handle the other stuff. He says, if you have aught with it with your brother in Christ, then we should go to him. But sometimes we can't go to him or her because it just won't happen. You know, things can't get solved. But always keep your heart right before Him. But it says David took the Ark of the Covenant back. And the presence of God was there. And it says that his wife, as David, the Ark of the Covenant was coming in, that David danced before his God. You know why he danced? Because he knew the Ark of the Covenant was where God's Spirit was. And he knew wherever the Spirit of God was, that it would protect them as a country. It would bless them as a country. It would be their God as a country. And look, we need the Ark of God. Not like what they had in the Old Testament, but the New Testament Ark of the Covenant is now the covenant between man and God. And the covenant that has been set between man and God is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And what He did at Calvary's cross. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God by one way, and there's only one way, through the cross of Calvary, through what Jesus did, not through what anyone else has done. How great it may be. We have some great men and women that have gone before us that has done great things to help the world out. But their blood, their strength, their power cannot get us to heaven. No way. The only one that can forgive us of our sins and give us liberty and freedom is Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, so that we can go to the Father and pray to the Father through the blood of Jesus and get our prayers answered. See, we try to go in different directions. You know, the Scripture says to pray to the Father. I'll blow you away with this. He says to pray to the Father. It doesn't say to pray to Jesus. Might say, well, aren't they one? Yes, they're all one. But it says to address the Father through the blood of Jesus, going through Him. That means we pray to the Father through the name of Jesus or through what Jesus did for us. Oh. You see, and you might say, well, God won't answer their prayers. Well, you know, we got to address things right for God to move. Certain things have to be in order for God to move. Draw near to God. Draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to us. We have to prepare our hearts to seek God. Prepare your heart to seek Him. Take some time, people. Take some time. I know every one of us is busy. I know it. We all work. We have families to take care of. We have, you know, things to do. We have a house that needs to be taken care of. We have these old vehicles that need to be taken care of. You know, I mean, that's just things. And look, things will steal our time. But make it a priority to seek God. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I seek Him? Take time with Him. You might kneel before Him. That's fine. You might just sit somewheres in your house and just talk with Him. Saying, not asking so much for anything. Just praise Him for a little bit. Saying, Father, I thank You that You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, I thank You that You're Joseph's God now. Father, I worship You. Father, I thank You for who You are. Thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You for giving the Holy Spirit unto us. Thank You for caring for me, Lord. You know, the Our Father says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Praising Him. And honoring Him first. Not asking for a thing. Now, there's nothing wrong to ask for stuff. I mean, you know, so we need God to move. And look, God wants us to ask. Because it says in Scripture, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. He's saying, come on. But yet there's a protocol to things. If we were to go see the president, if you like him or not, most of us may not. But because of the office that he holds, you know, man, we just don't walk in that Oval Office, slam the door open, hey, bud, how you doing? And give him a high five. And you don't do that. You just don't do that. There's a protocol to go into the, if you want to say, the holy place, the Oval Office. You know, yeah, there's a protocol. You have to get clearance. They got to check on you. You know, there's certain things. And then you have to be led in that direction and in whatever. Well, you know what? In the Old Testament, they had a protocol to go into the most holy of holies. There was the outer courts. It was, and really, the place was basically like a rectangular. It wasn't square, but like rectangular. There was an outer court where just about anybody could go. Then they had the inner court. Then they had the holy place. Then they had the most holy place, or the holies of holies. And that's where God was, right? In that holy of holies. And on the outside, anybody basically could go. The outer courts. Then there was the inner court. And in that inner court, there was a big brass basin, or bowl, if you want to say. And what the priest, every once a year, the priest had to go into that holy of holies to bring the blood of a sacrificed animal so that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or God the Father, could overlook the sins of Israel and still bless them. But as the priest would go in, he'd pass through the outer courts, and he'd get to the inner courts where that big brass basin was, and he'd wash his hands. You know what that's signifying even to us? Cleanse your hearts before you go in. Cleanse your hearts of all knowing things. Say, Father, forgive me. Lord God, forgive. That's drawing near to God because we want to get to that most holy place, huh? The Holy of Holies, where God is. Then it says the priest, because they wanted to make sure he went in by himself. So they, what they would do is they would tie a rope around him. And as he would go in, you know, to the holy place where the sacrifice and all was taking place, you know, he'd do all he had to do. Then he would walk into the Holy of Holies where God was. And it says that the Ark of the Covenant was there. And in the Ark of the Covenant, what was there? The Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone. What else? A jar of manna, which God showing provision that he would provide for us. And what? And then also what? Aaron's what? Staff that budded was in there. And it says, and God in the Shekinah glory would sit upon the Ark of the Covenant. And on either sides of the Ark of the Covenant was cherubims. Angels, they were called cherubims. Those same cherubims are mentioned in Genesis, where it says when Adam and Eve were cast out, it says that those cherubims, or whatever like them, were set before the doors that they could never go back into that place, the Garden of Eden. But they would sit on the other side, guarding the presence of God. And the priest would go in. He better make sure his heart was right. He better make sure things were cleaned up. And he would present the blood of the sacrifice and representing Jesus later on. And God would accept it. And then they'd either yank him out or he'd come out. And most of the time he was alive, thank God. But so you see, there's a protocol. I'm about to close, guys. Protocol to God. Draw near to God. You know, that was the Old Testament. Now we have the New Testament where we can go before God. We're all priests before Him. My God. That we can go to Him with the blood of Jesus upon our hearts and upon our minds and upon our spirits. That we can go to Him and He takes it. And we can sense and feel the presence of God. That not it's not just the priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. But it's every day for us with the Day of Atonement to get our sins taken away. To get the wisdom that we need. To get the power of God that we need to carry on. To get what we need from Him, but also to give Him the praise and the glory and the honor that He so deserves from His people. Worship Him. Take time. We have to set priorities to enter in. Draw nigh to God. Might say, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. Pray, Lord, draw me. as Solomon prayed. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, there's a lot of stuff I just didn't, but that's okay. God knows. Draw me. Draw me. Oh, Jesus, we give you praise and honor and thanks, Lord. You know, it's your decision how close you want to be with God or not. But this morning, let's make a decision to draw close to Him. To draw close to Him. I would ask, let's all of us just raise our hands this morning. Just raise your hands before you. Raise your hands if you can, if you can. And I want to pray a prayer of drawing us closer to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And Father, I pray the prayer that Solomon prayed. Draw me, and I will run after thee. Draw me by your Spirit. Draw me by your love. Draw me by your concern for me. And help me to be a child that satisfies you. Help me to praise you. Help me to honor you. And help me to love you. And I ask you to help me to get rid of all selfishness in my life. Help me to be sold out unto you this day. I give you my life and let it satisfy you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Father, I thank you for their love for you, Lord God. And I thank you that you're working on all of our hearts, souls, minds, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you will be with us and you will encourage us and help us. Father, lead us and help us to be the people that you need us to be. We thank you for today, this church service, Lord. We thank you for visiting us and speaking to us. And Lord God, we will trust you. We ask that you protect each and every one of us as we go home today. And that you would give us wisdom with our families, wisdom with our work, and wisdom everywhere we go, Lord God. And Father, I pray that your presence would settle upon each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, Jane and I, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. Bye-bye.